Konnichiwa and good evening. This is Stick to Football. Welcome back to the Joplin, Missouri office. It feels good to be back. The brick walls are here. Mello is here. It's Friday morning. I just spoke Japanese.
I was going to say, I'm not even 100% sure what language that is.
It's Japanese.
Well, that's whatever. You're not catching me off guard anymore. I'm ready for it.
Ready for it? I'm ready for this. Oh, I have a broken fingernail from the Ohio State tailgate, and it really slowed down my can popping. That hurt.
There's blood
underneath that fingernail.
Are you hurt or injured?
Hurt, not injured. Watch the program if you don't get that one. We have a fun show for you guys tonight. It is great to be home. I am still in recovery mode, but we are going to go around the league. There is so much news happening right now, Mello. We've had to cut some of it.
Yeah, I mean, there really is. I'm looking at a list here of just full of information, and we are going to get to some of it. We are also going to preview and pick the championship games here. We're not worried about some of the other games. I know there's a lot of teams that rescheduled for this week, but we are going to go with the five championship games for this week. And then, as always, we're going to do our top fives. We're going to do a little draft on draft and maybe even get to talk to a Texas Longhorn.
Yeah, Texas Longhorn will be here. Charles Omenihue, Big 12 Defensive Lineman of the Year. We're going to have a lot of fun talking to him. Top five moments from the tailgate tour. I'm excited to see how many of those actually make the show and don't get cut.
I mean, I got a big board going. I don't know. We'll see what happens once we get to him and it's time to talk to him. But I don't know. We have a lot of stuff that we've talked about before. Maybe it doesn't make the show, so you might be right. Hopefully, we have a top five for you this week.
The Stick to Football, like things that get left on the floor, would be a great podcast, actually, I think, anyway. Let's get right to the news. Our favorite quarterback to hate, Kyler Murray, is going to play baseball. And I know this is kind of old news. It's something that came out early in the week. And a lot of people said, why does this even matter? We knew he was going to play baseball. The A's are paying him $5 million to play baseball. He gets 1 year of football at OU, and then he has to go report. He says, baseball's still my future. I only bring this up. I saved it for the Friday show to get your take as the person who hates Oklahoma football more than anyone in the world.
Well, I'm very happy to see him going to Oakland. That's what I want, because he's tearing it up this year. And also just remove the fact that he plays at Oklahoma, and I will hate him for probably the rest of his life. He made the right decision here. I know that the NFL might come calling, but at the same time, you are not 6 feet tall. It's going to be very hard for you to find a role in the NFL, and it might be quarterback. It might be somebody taking a chance on you. But you are one of the top MLB prospects right now. You're making millions already. Take that shot. Go see what you can do there. He's got one hell of an arm. I think he can actually play some center field. He's fast. Yeah. You made the right decision. Good job, and get out of here. I don't want to see Kyler Murray ever again.
Yeah, and a lot of people have been in my mentions this week on Twitter saying that, well, why wouldn't you just draft him anyway? And maybe he does Deion Sanders thing. Maybe the Raiders should draft him and try to do the, you know, the whole you could
just
play
draft him and store him is pretty much what you'd have to do, because I do think he has a future in the MLB.
Yeah, with football, the thing is, if you draft him, let's say a team does like get crazy and like, let's just draft him in the seventh round to see what happens. You only own his rights for one season if he doesn't sign a contract. So if he does not sign that contract, he would go back into the next year's draft. So Kyler Murray made some news this week because he said that he was going to play baseball. He also made some news this week because there's this whole thing happening right now surrounding the Big 12 championship. Texas and Oklahoma get to play again, which is great for the sport. It's great for the conference. Sucks if you're a Texas fan because you're going to be a little nervous all week. But there's been this whole ordeal surrounding Kyler Murray and Sam Ellinger, the two quarterbacks of these teams. Some video was released. Some audio was released of them. A little small confrontation after the Red River shootout. Then they have the pressers where Murray like laughs and says he's not going to say that he respects Ellinger. And now you have this thing where the Big 12 is saying you maybe can, maybe can't do the horns down.
Yeah, it sounds like they're leaving it up to the referees.
That's always a great idea.
So, yeah, great. So I guess they're going to have to check with them before the game. If you are an Oklahoma fan, and I'm just saying this, any team that plays against Texas, I would tell your players not to do it. It's just not worth the penalty. And even if you look at it from the other way, if they said throwing the horns up was a penalty, then you just don't do it. You don't put your team in that position to just be an asshole so you can do your celebration.
Right.
You don't throw the horns down if it's a penalty. You just stop.
I want to say, as a Texas fan, it doesn't bother me. Like, I mean, I think it's meant to be disrespectful, and it is. It riles you up as a Texas fan to see it happen. but it also maybe is motivation that a team that has struggled the last 2 weeks could use. So, and I think it needs to be completely unbiased. Like if the horn's down as a penalty, so does anything else, you know, like disrespectful to it, whatever it would
be. But nobody else has the cool hand signal. And that's what it boils down to. Everybody fucking hates the fact that Texas has the best hand signal ever.
It's a hand
in
job,
any
baby.
Sport. The hand jive or hand job?
Jive.
Jive is what you said.
J-I-V-E.
Okay. Yep.
J-I-V-E.
That's... Although the other one's not too bad either.
So a lot of Texas news to get started. Some Texas Tech news as we transition here. There was a report that came out Thursday that Cliff Kingsbury was going to be the next offensive coordinator at USC, which seemed like a shitty job for him to take, quite frankly. He was fired by Texas Tech. A lot of people, myself included, were out there saying this guy could have a job in the NFL if he wanted it. So this report comes out. He's going to USC. Corso, not so fast. Maybe he's not. A lot of people in Rappaport, being one of them, come out and say, like, no, this is might happen, but it is not a done deal. So Cliff Kingsbury is still a free agent.
And he's already breaking the hearts of everybody in LA, and he's not even there yet. So sorry, ladies, you're going to have to pump the brakes there. I did think it was odd that he had already like come out and taken a position just like a week or so after being let go. He is going to be a very hot commodity, pun intended, because he's a very good offensive mind, and that's where the NFL is going, and that's where college football has been for a long time. So I think he is a very talented OC. I don't think he's going to get a head coaching job.
Right. Kingsbury may or may not go to USC. There's a report now, though, that Texas Tech has hired his replacement, and that's Matt Wells.
Oh, and that's Utah news State. To me right yep. now, because I did not see yep. that one yet.
Shockingly, they went to a spread offense. So
yeah, no way.
Yeah.
But he is a very good coach, and he's got some really good things going on there at Utah State. Yep. And I think that's a pretty decent move for him to get into the Big 12. He's not going to go to a school like Oklahoma yet or anything. So to be able to jump in front of there and see what you can do at Texas Tech, you know you're going to get some receivers to play there, especially in the spread offense. That's what they run. They always have. So I think he can have some success there. I think success at Texas Tech is 7-5.
It definitely is. I think you have to manage expectations there and realize that you're going to have some good years, but you're not Texas. You're not Oklahoma. You're not West Virginia. And thank God all the talk about that they were going to get Dana Holgorsen is now, I think, officially dead.
And I think that just goes to agents talking to each other.
Yeah.
Dana Holgorsen had a very good year this year, but he's going to lose his starting quarterback and some damn good receivers. Homie needs to cash in while he can, because he's probably not going to have a 10-win season next year. So he's out there looking for that payday, but that's what you have to do. That's part of the game. You cash in, strike when the iron is hot. We've talked about it with draft prospects all the time. Coaches have to do the same thing. So when you have a good year like he has, you have to go get your extension. And he's great for West Virginia. I really love the fit there and what he's able to do. It works for West Virginia.
Yeah, it really does. And some more coaching news. This is a coaching show this week. So much coaching talk. But oh my Jesus, this made me so happy. I do not root for Purdue. I do not root for Louisville. I really don't have a dog in a fight when it comes to Jeff Brohm. Don't really care. Just want to see him do well.
Here we go.
I do.
Buckle up.
Have a dog in the fight for Dan Dakich being wrong. Holy shit, it made me so happy that this guy was wrong. And I've been asked to provide backstory. I just do not like the super hot takey, say whatever you want, shock jock sports columnist guys. I don't like Clay Travis. I don't like Skip Bayless. And I don't like Dan Dakich. And I understand that might be your cup of tea. It is not mine. He's a pompous ass. And I'm so happy that he was wrong when he got out there like a month ago. And sources say Jeff Brohm. Yeah, okay. That's the worst thing about now that we cover college football are all the sources say guys. Like the Inside Troy account that sources say...
I'm just going to sit here and drink
one. Allegedly today. This is the fucking report they put out. Sources say that Cliff Kingsbury will apparently be the offensive coordinator next year. How are you going to source something and use the word apparently? I didn't even go to journalism school.
It's getting ridiculous. And I didn't even know your guy that you're going off about until like 2 weeks ago when you mentioned him. But it's so annoying. And like you tweeted earlier, unless Bruce Feldman tweets it out, like, don't even buy it.
Yeah,
because it's inaccurate all the time. I don't know what happened to the days of like you actually having a source or two and then reporting a story, but it doesn't happen anymore. You just get some fucking student at USC that says like Texas Tech's coach is coming here.
I saw Cliff Kingsbury in the cafeteria.
Yeah, no, it's just Southern California. Yeah. Everybody's that hot.
Everyone looks like that.
Yeah, so I'm with you. Reporting stuff that's just so inaccurate all the time. One piece of news that is going to come out this week: return of Mac Brown.
Return
it is official.
Of the Mac.
This is actually happening. Mac Brown is going back to the University of North Carolina. I'm very happy for him. He's an old ass man though. I love Mac Brown. We've had draft on draft questions before that said if you could play for any coach, I would pick Mac Brown. But he's a little bit past this time.
He's been out of the game. He's younger than our dad.
He doesn't look it.
He doesn't.
For those of you that were in Columbus and you saw Papa Miller.
Dude, he'll be 69 in a month.
Nice. Yeah, but I am happy for Mac. I don't know how much success he will see at North Carolina, but he did turn around this program once before. They went from being like a 1-2 win team to making bowl games, contending in the ACC. So he's going to be able to recruit. That dude could walk into anybody's living room.
Oh,
he could sell
he could sell
ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves.
Right. He sells snow to an Eskimo.
Yeah, he's good.
There you go.
I don't know about that coaching and developing players thing, but he can recruit.
I thought you were going to go with the Tommy Boy line and that you were intentionally messing it up, you know? Like, you can get a pretty good look at a Tebow steak by sticking your head up a bull's ass. But I'd rather take the butcher's word for it. I'm excited for Mac Brown to be back. I've said before, he and I ended on bad terms just because how bad Texas was there
at
the end.
You say it like it was like a personal slight against you. Like
it hurt.
He gave you a fuck you on the way out of Texas.
No, that was Lincoln Riley in the elevator at Mobile. No,
pretty much.
Mac Brown and I have only had pleasant interactions personally, but I was just a jaded fan. I'm happy for him that... I saw his wife said you can only take three jobs, like Hawaii, the Bahamas, or Chapel Hill. So it's cool that he did like get to go home again, and he's going to end his career in Chapel Hill. I love the University of North Carolina as someone who's just not at all affiliated with it. Like great uniforms, great colors, and it plays pretty good football. A couple more coaching notes: Paul Johnson retiring from Georgia Tech, and I want to pour one out for the triple option because. One less school is going to be running it.
This is becoming a triple option podcast.
We maybe should have renamed the show.
That's what I was just going to say. Like me, you, and Connor, maybe we just call it like the triple option. Damn it.
That would have been good.
Let's buy those rights.
Yeah,
before.
Yeah.
And then just in case anything
ever
happens.
Grab the logo, guys. We're going triple option.
Yeah, but I am sad to see him go. I'm curious to see who they're going to get to replace him because they did go with that triple option guy and they've got a lot of triple option players there, obviously. So their next coaching hire is going to be interesting to see which way they go. There is reports of maybe even a guy like Ken Wisenhunt going there, which would, my guess would be not a triple option guy.
No, he did go to Georgia Tech. So I think that they wanted someone with everything I heard was they wanted someone with pro experience. Like they want to get away from the triple option. They've had some good receivers there over the year. Calvin Johnson, Stephen Hill.
Right.
They're probably going to try to capitalize on some of those athletes they can get out of the Atlanta area. So we'll see how that works. But I can see Ken Wisenhunt going to the college side. I think that one makes some sense. And last bit of news, former Alabama players have been a hot topic lately. Some Alabama players in the NFL said that an all Alabama team would like run the table in the NFL. They'd go 16-0 if Nick Saban were coaching. One thing they apparently weren't asked about is, hey, is Reuben Foster a good guy?
Right, because they all came out. There are a couple of them, 3 to 4, on the Washington roster. And so the front office says, we talked to old teammates, assuming they meant the guys that were on the Redskins roster.
Jonathan Allen.
Nope, because they all came out and said the front office didn't talk to them. So what's going on here with the Redskins and the Reuben Foster thing? I will say this. I get the strategy behind it. You want to claim the guy, and then hopefully... if everything is proven and he actually did assault people, they'll cut him. And they'll say, okay, we don't want this guy. So I do want to kind of back up the Redskins and what they're doing. Obviously, fuck this guy, allegedly.
Allegedly.
If he did do any of this, and it is...
any of the, like, five things.
It is a pattern that is not looking good for you. But I get the fact that you're going to want to claim this guy who's still on a rookie deal. And if it does turn out that it's false, again, maybe, then okay. But I think in the end, they're going to end up cutting this guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's also, let's not hide the fact that he has not been good at football this year. He had a very good rookie year, but he was hurt like every game. He's had a shoulder injury that has definitely slowed him down. So I think you're looking at a guy that not only do you have the off-field stuff that is horrible, but you also, allegedly, but you also have a guy who's just been outshined by Fred Warner at linebacker. So the Niners are actually in pretty good shape at linebacker. I know some fans have asked, like, do they go after Devin White? I don't think you have to, because they kind of hedged and drafted Fred Warner, who's been very good. So at number one overall, the Niners should still draft Nick Bosa. Still not changing that opinion. Probably won't until they do it. That's the only way that I'm going to change my mind.
And even after that, I don't think that changes.
Before we get to our guy Charles Omenihu, we've got some games to preview, some picks to make, and our top five moments from the tailgate tour to get through. Let's do those previews and picks first. For the record on the year, with 1 week left in the regular season, you have a two-game lead, 45-20 to my 43-22.
And I'm actually feeling safe, because I think we're going to pick all of these games the same way this week.
That's where the problem is, and that's why we're going to take this thing to bowl season.
Yeah, and I mean, you might have to just get risky here, but we do have the Pac-12 championship game here. Number 17, Utah at Washington, number 11 ranked Washington. This game's happening tonight, if you're listening to this on Friday, and I'll go ahead and kick this one off. I think the Huskies are peaking at the right time. I know that we saw them lose to an Auburn team that maybe doesn't look very good this year, but they've recovered nicely, and Chris Peterson has things going there. I love what he can do as a coach. We've seen him perform in some of the biggest games before when he was at Boise. Yeah. They were dominating teams like Oklahoma. He's going to have his guys ready to go versus Utah this week. So I think Washington is going to win this game.
Yeah, Washington is the better team, in my opinion. They have more talent, especially with what they do in the secondary with Byron Murphy and Taylor Rapp. Miles Gaskin, you can think what you want about him as a draft prospect, but he's had some very big games so far this year. Caleb McGarry on the offensive line has stepped up. And Jake Browning is not an NFL quarterback, but he's a pretty good college one.
And Chris Peterson wins with those guys.
Exactly. So we are both taking Washington. No surprise here. I think you're right. This is going to be hard to pick different teams against each other.
This
one might be the big one, though. This is where the rubber meets the road. Not the country roads, because West Virginia doesn't play again for a month.
Ooh, take that L with your horns down.
I miss singing that song.
Fucking Mountaineers, whatever the hell that is.
Number 14, Texas at number 5, Oklahoma, or verse number 5, Oklahoma. This game will be played at Jerry World in Dallas.
And I'm very excited for that. I know that the Cotton Bowl is like historic and people don't want to take it away from the state fair. I would actually petition that they move the fuck out of there.
Anyone who's been to the state fair would be like, yes. No.
No, it's terrible. Traffic is ridiculous. Yeah. The stadium is hot. You're close together with everyone. Like, get that thing out of the Cotton Bowl, and I would actually go again.
Yeah, put it in the dome.
But for this week, we are going to go ahead and prove it. There has been a lot of bulletin board material. We're obviously going to talk to some of the guys later. But for me, I'm going with the super underdog locksmith game of the week to bet your money on, because I don't have the bet nuts to bet my own money on. The Texas Longhorns here are going to win the Big 12 championship. They've already beat Texas once. They have the buy-in from the players. They have senior leadership. These guys are ready to go, and they're going to beat Oklahoma not one time, but twice this season.
Well, the confidence from Melo is off the charts. I can't pick against my team. I want to remind people, if you could scroll back to the mid-October show where you refused to pick Texas to win and they did, I'm also picking Texas. I said to you at dinner tonight, as I was enjoying the largest Tank 7 I've ever had in my life, that they've beat them once. And it was a dramatic game. People forget that Texas had like a 21-point lead at one at the half, basically, and gave that up. So they have shown already a blueprint and a recipe to beat Oklahoma. I think they could do it. These guys are fired up. With Sam Ellinger, hopefully, is healthy, because he's the key to this. Colin Johnson, hopefully fully healthy. LJ Humphrey has been going off lately. Andrew Beck's been getting involved. This is not to discount Oklahoma. Kyler Murray is a special player. CeeDee Lamb and Marquise Brown are very good receivers. It just plays in well to Texas's strengths because of what they have in the secondary, with Chris Boyd and Brandon Jones and Caden Stearns, they have depth as well to match up with all the guys Oklahoma brings to the table.
I agree with you. And they have some things that they've got to work on. They have not played very well the past 2 weeks, and Oklahoma has. They've been tested. Hopefully, since we're sitting here as two Texas fans, Oklahoma's beat up, hopefully. They just played West Virginia.
Yeah.
I hope that some of their guys maybe take a little bit longer to recover this week because Texas needs it. But you're right. They have the formula there. They've already done it. Run the ball up the middle. Get the ball to those guys on the outside. LJ Humphrey, Colin Johnson. They look like great prospects for the 2020 draft.
2020. Yeah, 2020 all the way. Number one, Alabama. At number four, Georgia. Y'all know who we're picking.
Yeah, what do you want me to say here? Like,
you know who we're picking. We've picked them every fucking week this year. It's Alabama all the way. The only thing I'm excited about for this game is the potential 2020 QB1 preview of Tua versus Fromm.
Right. This is like you take it back again to the program. This is Joe Kane versus Tim Wayman.
Yeah.
This is going to be an exciting one. Alabama has beat every opponent they've faced this year by more than 20 points. Georgia is going to be their toughest opponent so far. So I hope that it's a close game. I don't think there's any way that Georgia can win this thing unless Tua just his leg falls off, because I think Saban would roll him out there.
Would still beat him.
Probably. So, I mean, Alabama going to win here. I just hope that Georgia does keep it close. That's a team that I really like. I don't want to sound like I'm down on them.
I love Georgia.
Yeah.
But I said this on the radio Thursday in Chicago. Georgia couldn't hang with Alabama last year.
Right, and now they're just
and that
better.
Was Jalen Hurts at quarterback, and Alabama doesn't have Roquan Smith. They don't have Isaiah Wynn, Sonny Michel. They don't have Nick Chubb. Like, they're a different team, and Alabama is actually better now with Tua, with Quinnen Williams, with Deontay Thompson. Bama's better. Georgia's worse. I think this game's a blowout.
Ooh, I think that's a take for you there. Well, the last time I checked the spread, it was at 13. So are you saying that it's going to be more than 13 points?
13.5 is the spread. I would take the over.
Really? Okay. Well, there you have it. Bet your money on that one.
Well, I lost $100 on LSU last week in 7 overtimes. Oh, my God. I fell asleep. I couldn't stay up because we had to get up at 4 in the morning for the Ohio State tailgate. I fell asleep, woke up, checked my phone, and was like, not only did I get 2 hours of sleep and feel like someone kicked me in the balls, I lost $100 in 7 overtimes.
Yeah, and we talk about loyal listeners all the time. Our buddy Cole is like here with us every Thursday. He was with us on the road in Columbus. Him and I shared a hotel room, and I swear we were up till like 1 in the morning watching football and just talking about everything. Somehow we missed that. That was the Saturday night game, I guess. But you're right. We were just tanked that night, so we didn't get to see the LSU game. Because I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Quotes, fell asleep after 14 hours of drinking. You got to have some sleepy time.
Lots of sleepy time. This one might also put you to sleepy time. 25 Fresno at 22 Boise. I love that Fresno has kind of come back this year. Like they're again a prominent team on the national stage. Boise is always one of the toughest teams to play. You get on that goddamn blue field and it's impossible to see people. You can't tackle anyone. I'm taking Boise in this one, but I think this, of all the conference championship games, this actually might be the closest one.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I actually think this one is going to be the hardest one to pick. But I'm going to agree with you once again. I think Boise State has more talent this year. I like their coach, Harson.
Harson.
Yeah.
Fine, I'm taking Fresno. We can't pick the same game.
Let's just do it.
I'm taking Fresno. I said it would be close. Maybe something gets crazy. I'll take Fresno State. Yeah. This will give us a reason to watch that game.
I mean, and you can always scout Brett Rypien. Can we just decide how we're going to say his fucking name?
It was Mark Rypien. So I think Brett Rypien is the same.
All right, I'm going with Rypien until the last time I have to say it. Then I'm going to get it wrong again. But all right, let's switch it up here. Yeah, you go with Fresno and I'll go with Boise. Maybe that'll be the difference maker. Because I think we're both going to agree on this next one. The old Big Ten, you got Ohio State in there rolling off of a huge upset against Michigan.
Huge. It was huge. They put up a wall of points, they did. This one, man, like Ohio State, if they can play like they did last week, that's the problem. This team has been so inconsistent. They're a 15-point favorite over Northwestern. That game's in Indianapolis. Here's the deal, though. If Ohio State shows up and plays like they did against Nebraska or Maryland, they will get their asses kicked because Northwestern's too disciplined.
And that's the thing with Urban Meyer teams. They will overlook a bad opponent and shit the bed against a team like Iowa last year. So is this a big game to them, or are they going to lose the Big Ten championship because they see number 21 Northwestern not that important to us?
And realistically, they can beat Northwestern and still not make the playoff.
Right. So I think they will have their guys ready to go, but I also think Pat Fitzgerald will.
Yeah, I love Pat Fitzgerald. He's a great coach, but I am going to take Ohio State.
I am definitely.
They're too talented. Northwestern is like classic try hard.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Clayton Thorson's going to throw four picks in this game.
That whole Big Ten West is just, they're all the same team. They just change their colors.
Top five tailgate moments with an asterisk that I might list eight or nine of them.
Yeah, let's dive into it too, because we were talking about this.
No.
Yeah, we got to flip the coin. We were talking about it, and even some of our listeners were like, we need to hear these top five tailgate tours.
Basically, this is us making you guys be like, I can't believe I missed that, so that you'll come out next year.
And I think next year will be even better.
It'll be better.
I honestly do. I'm not just saying that so you'll come out. Honestly, I know some of you guys are weird as fuck, so I don't know if I want you to come out.
Dan Barnes.
But we do love the rest of our listeners, yeah. so next year it's going to be great. Let's do this. I still have our Idaho quarter that confuses me with this fucking bird. Of course you make me flip a quarter that has a bird on it.
Tails.
2007. It's tails.
Tails. Tails never fails. I hope someone's keeping track.
That doesn't have a bird on it.
I think I've won three straight weeks.
No, it's the bird.
It's not the bird. It's that tails never fails. So I get to go first, which I don't even know why we're drafting this, because there are top five memories and we don't have to pick those.
And one of us has the whole weekend. He can't remember.
Exactly. So mine are a little limited. My number one favorite moment of all the tailgate tours, and this is going to sound like cheesy as hell, but it was singing Thunderstruck at the University of Texas tailgate with the Hellraisers. Those kids know how to throw a party. There's like 80 Hellraisers all face painted up, ready to go. And they go, hey, you got to get in the circle. We're playing Thunderstruck. And we didn't do this in Missouri.
Old ass men. We didn't know what the fuck was going on.
We did not. We called these waterfalls, but they put on some AC/DC. And every time someone said, every time they sing the word thunder, the next person in the circle has to drink.
Great game.
Great game.
And you're right here to put this number one. Yes, because this was the very first stop on the tailgate tour. Just the two of us here. No one else. No Connor. He couldn't make it. No Jesse. She couldn't make it. So it's just us. We had absolutely no idea what kind of return we were going to get.
We didn't know
if there were going to be two guys there drinking with us, or if it was going to be 100 crazy students. It was 100 crazy students. So we got it rolling off right. I think this set the whole momentum for the whole tour.
Yeah.
So you're definitely 100% correct. Tailgating with the guys from the Hellraisers.
Guys and girls. There was a girl at this tailgate who, it was like early September. It was hot out. She pulls up her jean shorts and wrote her friend's phone number on her thigh. And we're like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm probably going to jail later. So I write her number on my leg in Sharpie and then pull my shorts over it. So when I get booked, I can pull my, because they take your phone. So I can pull my shorts up and I have her number on me.
That's ridiculous. How
intense they are about tailgating. Yeah.
Like
I've never even done that.
When you go out and you just know, like, okay, I have to have my I'm going to jail plan. Like, I've done some crazy shit. I don't have like I'm going to jail tonight plan.
So Thunderstruck and the Hellraisers. Definitely my favorite moment.
I like that one. You stole it from me. That's all right, though, because I will go to the weekend that you can't remember. And I think we got a little weekend at Bernie's here, because my number one memory is the dead guy at LSU. And that is what we've been calling him. We literally thought this guy was dead. We had to stop making fun of him to check for a pulse.
Yep.
Thank God he was alive. Hopefully he still is. And then he pops up and he's Australian and he's the nicest Australian in the world.
Not even mad that we were taking pictures and messing with him while
just
he was dead.
So friendly. And
what did he say? He's like, I just went to lay down for a little bit. No? Yeah.
You just died for a little bit there, buddy.
I have vague memories of this whole weekend, but I do remember walking back from playing beer pong and there's a guy laying in front of our tent, our big tailgate tent. And people are just kind of like not getting close to him. It's like if an alligator walks out on a golf course, like everybody wants to look at him, but no one wants to touch it.
Yeah,
and so our dumbasses just lay down beside him and start taking pictures. I kissed him on the cheek. I mean,
yeah, Thank God he was alive. That's such a good turnaround that he was. Can you imagine if there were pictures of us in our stick to football t-shirts kissing a dead man? That would have been terrible. They would have canceled the show. I'm surprised they haven't already.
Yeah. Sometimes when you're on the tailgate tour, things don't go as planned. You know, we had all these guests lined up in Austin, and we get down there and none of them happen. We had to think on our feet and act fast. We get to Ohio State and it's raining and cold and none of us had the right clothes for it. But when we got to Fort Worth, Mello and I took one for the team and shared a hotel room. We're brothers. We can do that, right? And we have an early call, like a 6:30 wake up to start to get set up for the tailgate. And Mello's getting up all night, the night before the tailgate, just up, down, up, down. I'm like, man, what is he doing? Like, why is he keep going to the bathroom? Because I'm like exhausted. And it finally hits me like, oh God, Mello's sick. The night before the tailgate, yeah. Mello's sick. And so my number two memory is going to TCU Iowa State. Exactly. My number two memory is you getting the number twos at TCU. This man had, I'm just going to be blunt, the shits all night Friday night. Like, did not sleep Friday night.
Yeah, you don't have to be coy here. That is the, like, sickest with diarrhea I have ever been in my entire life. So sometimes I get it. Like, you call into work, you've got some loose stool, and it happens, like, one, maybe two times. I guarantee I went to the bathroom more than 10 times within 4 hours.
But did you call in sick?
Hell no.
He woke up and said, just get me some breakfast. We got some Chick-fil-A. Yep. We got a Dr. Pepper in him. And he... We started tailgating that day at, I believe, 8 o'clock. We closed the bar down Saturday night in Fort Worth with Connor sharing a Moscow meal with another man. Yeah. We shut that bar down. So, hat tip to you because you showed your strength. You played through pain, and you tailgated through the poops.
I don't know if it was like a fever dream or what, but I know that there was one time at about 3:15 in the morning, I thought I shit the bed. Like, I did not think that I got up in time, but I will tell you, I did not shit the bed. That's the fastest I've ever moved in my life. Like, I played football, basketball, baseball. I even ran a little bit of track. But at 31 years old, that is the quickest I've ever been. And it was me in the clutch because that's the quickest I've ever needed to be.
You're only 30 then. I bet you're slower now.
Oh, definitely slower. There's no way. I would pull every muscle in my body if I moved that fast again. It was like the adrenaline pumping through me just got me to the toilet.
It's like when you see your baby falling and you're like, yes. Fast again. Like, yes. Oh my God.
Yes. All right. I'll keep it going. You talk about how just things don't always go right for you when we're on the tailgate tour. And that happened to us in Columbus. We showed up at approximately 5 o'clock. Maybe there was a gate issue and we couldn't quite get in at 5 a.m. like we wanted to. But we got there and we were there before 5:30. It was raining, and that is the coldest I've ever been in my life. At about 6 a.m., after we had everything set up, we are soaking wet. We expected like 45-degree temperatures. Well, when you get that wind coming off of Lake Erie, you get a little rain, it's fucking cold out there. So my number two memory here is our parents going with us because they saved that entire
tailgate.
We got the trailer, we picked it up, and we thought, hell yeah, we can take this thing to Columbus, no problem. Well, no the fuck we couldn't. I couldn't even get the damn thing backed up. Thank
it
God.
It was a 27-foot trailer, by the way.
For Papa Miller. We took it to your house. It took me more than 45 minutes to get it parked. No lie, more than 45 minutes. It was a shit show, worse than Fort Worth.
Yeah.
But we did it. If our parents weren't there, we probably would have died.
We would have
died on the way because we couldn't drive the fucking trailer, or would have died of hypothermia if it weren't for our mom bringing me extra pair of sweats, extra pair of socks, extra pair of gloves.
He's 31 years old.
they even brought Wendy's for tailgaters.
Tailgaters were getting in my Tahoe to talk to our parents.
Yes.
To the point where they finally just got out and like mingled with the crowd. So they did save the day. They brought you and Cole, baby, extra warm clothes because you guys were freezing. You both wore like Nike shoes that have like all
like
the
Nike
holes in
running
them
shoes.
And just normal socks.
Oh.
And we set up in a puddle. So I want to add on to that. The Ohio State tailgate was great for another reason. There was a guy, Ian, who was there at 5 o'clock with a case of Natty.
We didn't shout him out yet.
Waiting in the rain.
Yes.
Our guy was standing there in the fucking rain waiting to tailgate. So
yeah, hat tip to that man because he definitely went all out that day. And congratulations. I'm glad that Ohio State won because of some of the guys that we got to meet that were there.
We did not see a home team lose other than Moso Pitt State on the tailgate tour. So if you want your team to win next year, invite us because we're good luck. So
just make it happen.
Just saying that. Number three for me, the Vince Young Foundation event. I'm going back to Austin. Friday night, we got to go hang out with Vince Young, some of the great Texas players from that national championship team. Got a fantastic meal. Got to like relive one of the greatest nights of our lives as fans from the people who played the game. Like get to hear their stories, interact with them. That's one of those experiences where sometimes in this job for me, like you can forget that it's still cool to be a fan.
Yeah,
you know, like all the Super Bowls, all the drafts, all that stuff. Like it's amazing, and you try to always be grateful, but you definitely like you just forget, and you're like, "Fuck, I gotta go to the Super Bowl again." But that was like one of the coolest nights as a fan that I've got to experience.
You are 100% right. If I would have remembered this night, it would have been probably number one for me because it was crazy to get as close and just have conversations with these guys, not just like, "Oh, look 30 feet that way. There's Vince Young over there." No, the dude came up and talked to us. We got to talk to Jamal Charles and some of the other guys that played there. Lindell White was there. So to sit down, have a meal that they paid for, get to enjoy it with the drinks and everything, that was a fantastic night for us. So that's a good one. Number three for me, I'm going to go with Blackout Matt. The recap of the whole day with you was absolutely fantastic. My favorite part is that we went into the game, decided it was time to go, so we left the game. As we're walking adjacent to the stadium, you decide you're hungry and that you need to go back into the game. So I'm like, "Matt, that's not how a ticket works, man. Once you're out, you're out." You didn't care. You had to go back in, and I just remember watching you try to scan your ticket again with the guy and him just being like, "You can't do that. Once you leave, you leave. You're done. This isn't going to work." And then you just losing 4 hours on the day. You brought some damn good sandwiches into the bar, and I thank you for that. But the fact that you just lost 4 hours is amazing.
And I have like flashes of what I remember getting sandwiches from a food truck and just bringing them into the bar. And it was the most perfect order I've ever made for everyone. And I don't remember it. Like, I can't remember what kind of sandwiches I got us. I remember the shots being poured when LSU scored.
Yeah.
That whole day, that doesn't happen to me either. Like, to, you know, but it did that day. And I'm sure it will again. It was definitely a great day. I'm glad that we all made it out alive out of that one. LSU was rough. Number four, the gas stations. Anyone who has ever traveled with me or listened to this podcast knows that I'm a gas station snob.
Oh, 100%.
100%. If it ain't a quick trip or a come and go or a Casey's, I'm probably not stopping. Unless you're in the South, you're Texas, I'll hit a Buc-ee's. In the Northeast, I'll hit a Wawa. The gas stations for me were some of the greatest parts of these trips. Getting to take Mello to a Buc-ee's for the first time was a treat. Our parents caught
first
a ride with us
times.
To Fort Worth for the TCU game. Like taking mom and dad into a Buc-ee's and just our mom shopped at a Buc-ee's.
Our parents went on two
half of the trips. They love us, man. Or we're losers. One of the two. Yeah, you don't turn down somebody who's gonna drive for you.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I kind of forgot about
that. Our Uber drivers.
You are right, though. Like, that was, like, probably your favorite thing, really. Just being able to go into a gas station and have a reason to buy those damn taquitos.
I do want to just now formally apologize to the gas station in Arkansas on the way to LSU. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's probably not there anymore. They burned it down.
Or it burnt down.
Yeah, definitely one of the two. Next one for me, I'm at number four. And I'm just going to go with our buddy Phil. He is one of my favorite memories from the tailgate because the dude rocked it with us in LSU, went to the game. We were able to give him a ticket, but it didn't stop there for Phil. He meets us one Saturday. Like, I think then he became a listener, then just decides.
Yeah, he never listened.
Right. So we made a new listener, and then he just decides, yeah, fuck it. I'll go to Joplin and tailgate with these guys again. Came all the way from Houston, Texas to Joplin, Missouri to tailgate with us again. And me and him, we got drunk and we had some deep conversations, like about life and careers and family. And it was great. I really feel like I met a friend. And now, Phil, 2 weeks in, thank you for making the tailgate. It was exceptional.
Well, that segues perfectly into number five for me. And number five, corny motherfucker, is the fans. Like, I really do love it. People say all the time, like, oh, we love that you guys at Sticked Football are so interactive. We just like it. Like, we love talking football with you guys. We love that you have become our friends and we have like these inside jokes and y'all get that I'm a gas station snob or that we suck at marriage or that we drink too much. Like, you guys get it and it makes it fun. You know, I heard some of the guys at Ohio State, like, they were like, yeah, Matt said on the podcast the other day. And I'm like, that's so weird to me. But it's so cool to me that like you guys pay attention that much to like, no, there was one dude, I think his name was Ryan. He's like, I've listened to every episode of Stick to Football ever. And like had his phone and was like proving it. Yeah. Like not like no bullshit. Like he listened to every fucking episode. And there are a lot of them at this
point. Yeah, there are.
It's
like 150 or something.
Probably closer to 200 with all the extra shows. I mean, there's a lot of shows out there, man. Uh-huh. And it's like, so that is like the thing that I love the most is I know sometimes we can like be tired or we get caught up in all everything else that's going on, but it is great to like get to interact with you guys and like just be fans again. It's fun.
I mean, you even put up with all my shit. I know that we have a lot of Browns fans and I talk shit on Baker Mayfield on the reg. So thanks for putting up with that. And you're right about like our listeners. They are so in tune with our lives and what we're doing. It's ridiculous. We met a guy in Columbus and he's talking to you and then you said my name and you're like, oh, that's Mello. Like, that's awesome. I get to meet both of you. And then we're talking to Cole and he's like, that's the friend Cole.
Yeah.
Who's never even appeared on our podcast. We just talk about him because he's here every Thursday and the dude knew who he was. That's ridiculous to me that you guys are so just in touch with what we're doing. We really do appreciate it. It doesn't go unnoticed. That's for damn sure. And Columbus was a great spot too, because you got to finally put a face to a lot of Twitter names that were recognizable. Dan,
Mel Kiper Sr.
Yeah.
Mock Genuine Draft.
Browns Can't Draft. JQTV. Like, these are names. Like, I recognize your Twitter handle, but I never really recognize your face. So now it is great to have that face to recognize you with.
I think you're friends with them now.
Like, yes.
Like, oh, Phil. Like, I'd probably send him Phil a Christmas card.
Right. Like, I'm confident that I can talk shit on Dan Barnes because he can take it. He's not going to go, like...
Right. He's not crying on his huge
kill himself or something. Right. And if he does, Aunt Oreo will come save him.
Right. Exactly.
Problem solved.
Yeah. They're best friends. Number five for you.
Number five for me. You're really pandering there to our crowd. But I'm going to go with... Sticking with the Columbus trip, I'm going to go with Black Friday shopping.
That was on my list.
The fact that we... really never go, the two of us, go Black Friday shopping. But we made it a point to go Black Friday shopping and really just the whole Black Friday experience, driving, being in St. Louis on Thanksgiving, giving up pretty much a holiday.
Yeah, to eat at Denny's.
To eat at
Denny's.
To have
Thanksgiving dinner at Denny's.
Yeah, we were those people. So Black Friday was definitely memorable for me.
Yeah, I mean, we got some $3 movies that we watched along the way. And I bought a coat at Target for $40 that I believe I would have froze to death if I hadn't bought that coat.
You for sure would have.
I mean, I bought a parka because it was like $40 and it had a fur hood and you guys teased me. And I was like, fuck it, I'll buy it. Watch this.
Austin, another one of our friends, got a coat.
So glad. So glad I bought it. Someone did call Austin Dan at the tailgate and I cried for like 5 minutes, but I was okay after that. So those are our top five memories from the 2018. Man, I can't wait for 2019. I'm so excited for everything we have going in 2019 that we can't talk about yet.
And people do ask all the time, and we're, you know, kind of still in the works with it. We do plan on hitting different regions. We will for sure, 100% sure, we will get west of the Rocky Mountains. We will come see the people in the west. That's my guarantee. Locksmith of the week.
As you guys know, Mello and I, big Texas fans, and we have one of the biggest Texas players, Charles Menehue, Big 12 Defense Alignment of the Year. Congrats, man, on having a great season.
Appreciate that, man. Appreciate that, man.
Obviously, you got a big game coming up on Saturday. So what's the feel in the locker room like now that you guys get to play Oklahoma for the second time this year?
I'll mean, we excited, bro. We ready to go. I mean, it's Oklahoma, yeah, but just for the fact that we playing for a Big 12 championship game is even more, like, fucking just crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, so the energy's high, energy level high. It wouldn't really matter who we're playing, but, like, for the fact that it's OU, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just even better, and it's an opportunity just to you play your rival, but then also playing your rival for the whole thing makes it even more better, and guys are ready and fired up.
Did you guys have a preference as you were watching on Saturday or on Friday or Saturday? My whole weekend's a loss now, but did you? I mean, like, because people would ask us, who do you want, West Virginia or Oklahoma? And I was like, I don't really know. What for you guys, was it like, hey, we want Oklahoma again?
No. I mean, we just, whoever we was going to get, we was going to be lit for it regardless and fired up for it just because, again, like I said, the opportunity to play in the Big 12 championship game is right there for us. So it didn't really matter who we was going against. We obviously were watching the game and being very intended, but to us, it really didn't matter.
Yeah, so obviously it is a huge game. What's going up on that bulletin board this week? There's been a lot of reports, a lot of talk going on. What's the thing that maybe has pissed you off the most this week, or what's on your bulletin board material?
Me personally, I ain't really got none, man. It's just a big stage, a big game. So my bulletin board is what's on it is just to dominate, to be the best player out there.
Yeah, and like with the Oklahoma offensive line, I mean, that's a good offensive line that's getting a lot of accolades right now. When you've seen those guys for a second time, do you feel like you're better prepared to go against, you know, the what they're going to bring at you with they got two very good offensive guards, obviously. Right tackle, Cody Ford's a pretty good player as well. Like, do you look at that now as, like, you know those guys better and you're more prepared to go against them?
Even the first matchup, man, I had a really good feeling about them. Just because I played against these dudes my junior year. These guys, that's a veteran group on the line. So, I mean, I've been playing against, I think 72, I've been playing against them since I was a freshman.
Yeah.
One of those since like sophomore year for sure. So, definitely been known about them, been known about their strengths and weaknesses. You always go back to the film when you played them before and just look at what they did that, you know what I'm saying, kind of they went up to you and what you did to one up them. So you use that in the second game to improve on and to be more prepared than how you were prepared already.
Now, we've talked about to some other Texas guys before. We were in Austin. We talked to Mike Griffin and Shipley. They talked about how sometimes guys leave the state of Texas and they go to Oklahoma. And maybe that pisses them off a little bit because you're Texas. You are a whole state. It's like it's a cult almost down there. So how do you feel about those guys that leave the state of Texas and go up to Oklahoma? There it is. Say it. Just say it.
I feel like it's not a smart thing to do.
There you go.
I wouldn't do that. I think if you're a fan of Texas, because now everybody in Texas ain't just burnt orange all the way.
Right.
Even when I was younger, I've lived in Texas my whole life. But I was a Florida Gator fan for the longest, back with Tim Tebow, Percy Harvin, and all those guys. Well, Florida, I love their style of play, their attitude. So not everybody goes to be a Texas fan. But if you did, and you're never going to OU, I mean, you're just going to have to face that Texas fury for 4 years, however long you over there.
Yeah, and how, like, obviously we have to ask you about Kyler Murray and Sam Ehlinger, your quarterback. There's been a lot of talk, and there was the whole confrontation after the Red River rivalry game. Now there's been some back and forth. It looks like Sam's kind of taking the high road this week. Being a defensive player, do you guys have it in your mind of, like, we got to back our guy up at quarterback, and we're going to go hit this little baseball player in the mouth this week and back our guy up? Is that something you guys are thinking about or talking about?
Not because of their, whatever you call it, the after game interaction or whatever. It's just because, I mean, he's the center of what they do. So you gotta get after him, regardless of what he said. You obviously know what's been going on or whatever. So some people might take that as a extra or whatever, but we just know that to stop them or to slow them down, you got to slow him down. So that's really a big thing for us.
What do you guys do if you win Saturday night? What's the celebration? Do you go out in Dallas or you get back home to Austin and then just let loose on Sunday?
I think we're probably going to go back to Austin. I've been saying that the city is going to shut down.
I think the whole state might shut down. If the Longhorns win the Big 12 again, I know we're up here in Missouri and we are going to be celebrating with you. You were a pretty big name last year too, and we do cover the NFL draft too. I want to get into a little bit, if you want to talk about it, what made you come back for your senior season? I know that you had a lot of other guys in that recruiting class with you. They opted to leave and go to the NFL draft. What brought you back to Texas for your senior year?
So exactly what I'm doing now and what's happening right now. How I said that, I felt like I left played out on the field my junior year, which probably played into the inconsistency that I had. As a junior, I showed flashes of what I think I've been, for the most part, consistently doing my senior year. So I felt like I left plays on the field that I shouldn't have and things like that. So this year, I've capitalized on that. And like you said earlier, being, you know what I'm saying, blessed enough to receive the award of the best, of the best defensive lineman in the Big 12. I was honorable mention for defensive player of the year in the Big 12. So for people to see to recognize me as not only the best defensive lineman in the Big 12, but also I had considerations of being the best defensive player in the whole conference. And then being first team out of Big 12 and all those things like that, it's I mean, what I wanted to do individually. And then as a team, having this chance to go to the Big 12 championship game, I mean, man, like, who could really say that, you know? You come back for your senior year and you're like, you know what I mean? You don't know how it's going to go, but you set these goals and you're like, well, now let me put the work in to get it. And then it turns out that this is what ends up happening, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah,
so
I get you.
It's just crazy.
Now, you are a senior. Obviously, we've talked about that. So you've played 4 games in the Cotton Bowl. How weird is it going to be to go into Arlington and have to play Oklahoma?
Oh, no, it's not going to be weird at all. I wish I could play tomorrow, honestly. Those kind of stages, man, those are the stages as a kid that watching the 2005 Rose Bowl and watching the national championship games and being like, damn, bro, like, this atmosphere, bro, like, these guys are playing in huge atmospheres where people make their legacy. Guys turn from being really, really good players to being legends and people remembering them and talking about them for a long time because of the stage that you're in, the atmosphere you're playing in. And just to have that opportunity finally to play in an atmosphere like that, on a stage like this and have an opportunity to be remembered for their performance is something I can't, I want to take it full advantage of that.
And it's probably like bittersweet because, you know, you are looking ahead to, you know, playing in the NFL and you got 2 games left as a member of the Texas Longhorns. You recently were announced as you accepted an invite to the Senior Bowl, which is going to be in Mobile, Alabama in late January. How important is that for you as another opportunity to prove yourself and show what you can do in front of NFL scouts? Is that something, obviously you got 2 more games to worry about, but is that something that you're starting to get excited for?
I'm more so like in the moment kind of guy. I was excited to get that. That was, again, one of my goals is to be invited to the Senior Bowl. And as much of a competitor I am, I want to be the first batch of guys to get invited to the Senior Bowl. I know I'm doing something really well, really good. So definitely excited, though. Excited to have the opportunity to just to continue to shine in front of people who make who have a part of a decision in setting my having me accomplish the dreams I've had since I was in the 4th grade. So I'm excited again to go against the best seniors in the country. So that'll be a very, very good opportunity right there.
We have one favor to ask you. If you get a sack on Saturday, we need you to do something some kind of stick to football celebration. I don't know exactly what it is. I should have thought this out because you won't have the ball in your hands. If you score a touchdown, I would love to get you to do a celebration where you like act like the ball stuck to your hand. Like we'll take the 15-yard penalty for you. It's okay. You don't tell Coach Herman it's okay. It's on us. Like, don't worry about it.
I got one more question for you though. We are talking about celebrations now, and everybody's talking about the horns down thing. You are a Texas mm-hmm. player, so where do you stand on that? Should it be a penalty? Does it piss you off? What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's not something I enjoy people doing, you know, like people do that as a disrespect when they score, whatever the case may be. And that combined with whatever the reason why they're doing it all fuels to be like, man, we can't let people disrespect us like that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not a fan of it. I don't fuck with that.
Well, just do it like you did Will Greer. You know, you break his finger, he can't do horns down. So let's just do that to Kyler Murray on Saturday. There you go.
I got the baseball swing for Kyler.
There it is.
That's what I want to see. We're all looking forward to it. Obviously, as Texas fans, we're rooting for you guys on Saturday. Good luck to y'all. Last question for real, though. If y'all win, who's going to be talking the most shit? Is Sam going to, like, run out there and, like, go full Baker Mayfield talking shit to people? Or are you guys just going to do the whole, like, act like we've been there thing?
I mean, emotions are going to be high. So I can't tell you what's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to be nothing crazy.
Except for Brecken Hager.
Oh, nah, Brecken, now you might have to watch out for him. But that's what's all, though. He deserves it.
All right, man, we definitely appreciate your time. We're looking forward to watching you not only Saturday and in a bowl game, but we'll see you down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. So good luck the rest of the way,
yes,
and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
For sure. Appreciate y'all.
Hey, that's our show for the week. Thanks again to Charles and Minihue. No draft on draft. We ran a little bit long with our picks and previews, but it will be back next week and better than ever. Monday morning, me, Mello, Connor, running down all the conference championship games, all the news and notes. It's going to be so much fun.
It'll be our triple option Sunday.
The triple option
Mondays.
Mondays.
Triple option Mondays. We'll cut that. Nope, probably not. Triple option Mondays.
Take us out to some country roads. That'd be great. God damn, I missed that song. Okay, we will be back Monday. Look forward to talking to you guys. Until then, have a great weekend.